remember telling you.
Yeah, he told me.
Some of his stories are amazing, the death threats, because he was trying to push it. You were born in, where were you born?
I was born in West Point, Georgia. And we moved to a little small town by the name of Lafayette, Alabama. It's going that way to Auburn, south, going to Auburn, and I lived in Lafayette all of my childhood.
Were you an only child? Or
no, I have three brothers. I have three brothers. I have one that's older and two younger. And we grew up during that civil rights period. I remember when we integrated the high school, when they closed the movie theater, when they integrated the one and only restaurant in Lafayette.
Well, no. It's a little closer just in case. Now, when they... So, they were segregated movie theaters.
Mm-hmm. We only had one movie theater now. A little small town like Lafayette would only have one. The whites were downstairs, the blacks were upstairs.
Oh.
And blacks could never go downstairs. But one day, some teenagers decided that they would do that. And one of the teenagers happened to have been my older brother. They went downstairs. The manager called the police. The police took them to the city jail, but they didn't arrest the children. They called the children's parents, or if they didn't have phones, took them home. And they closed the movie theater. It never reopened again.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents do? Were they...
My father gave my brother a good lecture and told him that that was not a wise thing to do. And he didn't say that it was the wrong thing to do. It was just not a wise thing to do in that small of a town, because they were going to create a major problem. And a major problem was created, because they closed the movie theater. And with Lafayette being as small as it is, then you didn't have anything to do on a Saturday night.
How many boys were there? Was it all boys, or was it boys and
girls? Just boys. I think they didn't have any idea that they would close the movie theater down. They were just kind of being mischievous that evening. To see what would happen, to see what it really looked like downstairs, mm-hmm. since we were never allowed to go down there.
Right.
Because they had a little side entrance that we had to go in.
Did they have separate restrooms upstairs?
Yes, we had restrooms upstairs just for us. There was no reason for us to ever go downstairs.
My mother, in fact, the other night mentioned that to me, and she said that they seemed to have more fun in the balcony, and she always wanted to go to the balcony.
Well, wanted to go to the balcony to see what was going on in the balcony. Well, we always wanted to go downstairs to see what they were doing downstairs.
Right. That's unbelievable. Well, when did, a lot of places, it started, I guess, in 57, integration with the big integration of the state, but it didn't reach certain areas until the 70s.
It didn't get to us until I graduated from high school in 1967. In 1965, they came out with freedom of choice. Lafayette has two high schools there.
Mm-hmm.
I walked by a white school every day because I lived within a mile of school, so that meant the children walked to school. Walked by the white high school every day, could never go in it until the last 2 years of my high school. And then I didn't want to go, because that would have meant that I would have been graduating with children that I really didn't know. Okay. And so I selected to stay at Chambers County Training School, where I graduated from, with all of my friends. But one of my younger brothers, I have a brother that's a year and a half younger than I am. He selected to be one of the five black children to graduate from Lafayette High in 1968.
There were only five.
There were only five of them. And the graduation ceremony it was integrated. It was in the same room, but those black families that had children there, all of them sit together. The whites didn't even sit on the same side that they sit on.
Well, When your brother went, did he ever talk of problems?
Oh, yes. Oh, they had riots every day when they first integrated Lafayette High. The policeman was called every day. Every day. Well, we were not as bad as Arkansas. They didn't have to escort the children in. They had sent letters out and asked children, parents really, where their children wanted to go, and our parents allowed us to decide ourselves where we wanted to go. Did we want to go to the White High School, or did we want to graduate from Camas County Training School? And he decided that he wanted to go there because they had something, a lot of things that our high school didn't have. They had a science lab. My brother is a civil engineer, and they offered more advanced math classes at Lafayette High than they did at Chambers County Training School. So he decided that he wanted to go.
For a high school student, too, a conscientious decision. Was it the same brother that was in the movie theater?
No, this is different brothers. I have three of them. Three of them, okay? It was my oldest one that was in the movie theater, and the one that's next to me, not my youngest one. Now, my youngest brother is the kind of the black sheep of the family. So when Jim decided to go to Lafayette High, my parents said that there was going to be trouble, and they wanted him to be prepared for it, because any decision that we've ever made as children, if we decided we wanted to do something, you were going to speak it out no matter what. And my mother, come in!
Let's see. So what grade were you in? You were in 11th grade?
Mm-hmm. When integration first started in Lafayette, yes.
Okay. Let's see, what was the next question I had? Some studies have suggested that integration was, I just did a paper actually on it being an economics, that certain,
no, the phone's not broken.
They were saying that black families could not live in the same school, in school zones when it came time to busing. Now, were you in school when they were doing the busing? Or I guess that was in the 70s, wasn't it, when they tried the busing?
Mm-hmm. I graduated from, I was already gone, but I've heard some horror stories, you know, what went on in Lafayette when, you know, first they introduced freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. Five children, it didn't work, okay?
Right.
So, in the city did something to force integration in Lafayette.
Right.
Instead of having two high schools, they made one into a junior high school, and the other was just a high school. It was not grades 1 through 12. 1 through 8 went to what used to be my high school, which was Chambers County Training School.
Right.
All the other children was bused to Lafayette High. And Mother Shay, the police was there every day to make sure that when the fights broke out, policemen arrested the children. Parents were called immediately to get the children. And the first year of integration in Lafayette, very stormy, fights every day. And something else that happened, some of the whites in Lafayette that could afford took their children out of the public schools, built themselves a private school.
The only white children
that was still left there was parents of children that worked in the textile mills that couldn't afford $2,000 or $3,000 a year to send their children to the private school.
Okay.
What were the conditions like at
Chambers County Training School? I remember when the school got a library. We didn't have a science lab. We had a home economics department. It was more like they were teaching us to, more like a a vocational school today. Like they were training us for some kind of job. We didn't have a lot of advance. I don't think we had. I remember taking Algebra 1 and Geometry. We didn't have Trig, and we didn't have Algebra 2. Because we didn't have any teachers there to teach it.
Right.
If they did, they didn't offer it to us. I even remember when we got the lunchroom and the gym was one building on the sides. They had the table because I carried a brown paper bag to school most of my life. I hate bologna sandwiches, and I hate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Well, my father was telling about how he remembers when they had a stove. He went to one school, and he said there was a stove in the hallway, and they had a mother that would come in every day and cook for the students on the stove. Because one of the black schools that he was trying to get integrated, and they didn't have a lunchroom. There was nowhere for the students to eat.
We had a lunchroom and a gym combined together, and on days that it rained, it created a major problem when they built the gym. When it rained, we didn't have PE at all because it was always outside.
Right.
Always outside. Summer, winter, it was outside. And well, at that time, I don't think we really noticed how cold it was because we were having so much fun being outside with other children.
Right.
And then when they built this gym, we just thought it was the best thing in town. A gym and a lunchroom combined together, and there was a kitchen facility, a little room that was built within the gym for the cooks to come in and cook.
But when was the first time that you knew that black people were treated differently? Did your family sit you down and explain it? Was explained at all? If it wasn't explained, how did you know?
How did I know?
I mean, I guess it's pretty much treated that way.
How did I know? It was something that was always, I always known as a child that blacks and whites were treated differently. My mother was a maid for this white woman. We could go over to her house and play with her children, and sometimes her children would come to our house and play with us. So we always played with white children. Black and white children have always played together. And it was not until someone said, one of the children, and I don't remember how the incident came up, said that we were not as good as they were. And when this incident happened, because I went home crying, day when someone called me a nigger. And I went home and I asked my mother, and I looked in the mirror and I asked her, I said, am I a nigger? What is a nigger, mother? She said, baby, you're not a nigger. Someone is mispronouncing the word. You are a Negro. You are a beautiful little Negro girl. We may not have everything that. And the person that she was working for at the time was Mr. Tarbox. Mr. Tarbox used to be the president of the bank in Lafayette. She said, we may not have all of the money and stuff that they have, but his children are not any better than my children. I grew up in a very strong household in believing that anything that you want, if you work hard enough for it, you can have it. My mother always, and I have a very strong mother, not saying that my father is not, but my mother was always that person that could kind of see beyond what things truly were. She always instilled within you this positive feeling. And we always knew that both of our parents were there, no matter what kind of trouble we got in, Mom and Daddy was going to be there. And it's still that way to this day. No matter what we've done, Mom and Daddy has always been there.